This is the Breaker.News podcast for the week of June 5th, 2022. I'm Bob Mackin, publisher of the Breaker.News and host of the Breaker.News podcast. Welcome to edition number 241. The Breaker is your source for news, opinion, and analysis about British Columbia issues, institutions, and influencers. Later, I'll tell you how you can support The Breaker. On this edition, headlines from the Pacific Rim and the Pacific Northwest. The Is It Just Me commentary. I award a virtual Nanaimo bar to a difference maker. And the big deal feature. Part 2 of my interview with the former Speaker of the BC Legislature and his Chief of Staff. Daryl Plekis and Alan Mullen join the Breaker.News podcast to reflect on the scandal at the BC Legislature after the conviction of ex-clerk Craig James. But first, is it just me? Is it just me, or did the BC Liberals win the spring session of the BC Legislature? The only prize for making the government look bad is the next election. Nothing else. But the Kevin Falcon-led BC Liberal opposition left John Horgan's NDP government bruised, beleaguered, and befuddled. So much that the summer will be full of speculation over Horgan's future. He is recovering from throat cancer, and he had a bout with COVID-19, but the billion-dollar Royal BC Museum announcement was self-inflicted. At a time when inflation, high gas prices, and a rapidly collapsing healthcare system are on British Columbians' minds. Here is what Falcon had to say on June 2nd.
So mark my words, Friday, May the 13th, is the day that the NDP really have signed their own death warrant as a political party. If they continue to go ahead with that, this will be their fast ferries, and this will bring their government down.
The last question period until October also had some fireworks. Here is Green Party leader Sonia Firstenau telling it like it is. But instead of Horgan, Deputy Premier Mike Farnworth replied.
Honourable Speaker, we sure hear a lot from this government about committed to something in the future, committed to things. We did these inputs, but we don't hear a lot about the outcomes. No. This government has made gaslighting its organizing principle for communications. What people need from this government is to recognize the reality that they are experiencing. Whether it's people who can't get back to their town because it's burnt down and hasn't been rebuilt, farmers who can't grow crops because their fields got flooded, people who can't afford basic necessities like food and rent, people who can't get their cancer test results because they don't have a family doctor. The Premier uses this government's communication machine to pat themselves on the backs and take jabs at their opponents. Meanwhile, they ignore looming crises. They're out of touch with the reality that British Columbians are experiencing. With a few notable exceptions, Minister of Agriculture, Minister of Transport, Minister of Childcare, and the Attorney General, what we have gotten over the course of budget estimates and question periods in this session is message boxes that don't acknowledge the reality of what British Columbians are telling us. They feel fear, they feel anxiety about the future, they feel financial pressures, and they are experiencing mental health and health impacts, and there is a broken trust with this government. The Premier thinks that to recognize reality is to succumb to despair, but the truth is, Honourable Speaker, being honest is essential to providing hope for a more secure future. My question through you is to the Premier. Can he be honest about the state of affairs in this province?
Government House Leader.
Thank you, Honourable Speaker. I think questioning the integrity of any member of this House, particularly the Premier, through a rambling statement without a question attached to it, quite frankly, I find offensive.
Mr. Members, the chair allowed the statement to be made by the leader of the third party. There was no question yet. Members, let's not cross the line. Now let's hear what the government house leader has to say.
Thank you, Honorable Speaker. And I know the member said there's no question, but there definitely will be an answer because in this rambling statement, the member sort of went over a whole series of issues. And I just want to set the record straight, Honorable Speaker, that it doesn't matter what the issue is, whether it is in education, whether it is in healthcare, whether it's in transportation, whether it's in forestry, whether it's in land use. This government is working every single day to improve the lives of British Columbians, and we have been doing it with a budget. We have been doing it with a budget that deals with issues around affordability, Honorable Speaker. It's why there's a rebate. It's
members,
why there's a rebate going out, Honorable Speaker, as we see to millions of policyholders.
Members will come to order. Members, please continue.
Thank you, Honorable Speaker. This government's job is being done every day by ensuring that the priorities of British Columbians come first and foremost. That's what we will do. That's why we're over there. And that's what we will continue to do for the next 2.5 years of this session, Honorable Speaker.
What will the session be remembered for? Well, perhaps that soundbite of Horgan losing his temper and dropping an F-bomb.
Do you want to hear it, man? Do you want to hear it? Or do you just want to hear your voice? Why don't you go in the bathroom and talk to yourself in there? Because you don't want to hear answers in this place. Seriously. The Canada Health Transfer is fundamental to health care in British Columbia. It's fundamental, and it has been for generations. Do you care? Do you really care? Or do you want to hear yourself? Do you want a headline or do you want action?
What do you think? Email Bob at thebreaker.news. This is the Big Deal feature on the Breaker.news podcast.
Not one of those people at the legislature, not one elected official has come forward and said, you know, thank you for doing what you did. Not even close. Well, you know, some people would say, okay, I might not have agreed with everything you did or how you did it, but that never would have happened unless Alan and I had did what we did. It just would never have happened.
That is the voice of Daryl Plekis, the former Speaker of the British Columbia Legislature, reflecting on the surprisingly difficult road to expose corruption and find justice. On May 25th in Abbotsford, I met with Daryl Plekis and his former Chief of Staff Alan Mullen to get their reaction to the conviction of former Clerk Craig James. James was found guilty on May 19th of fraud and breach of trust by a public official for spending almost $1,900 of taxpayers' money at upscale clothing boutiques in London and Vancouver. James will be back in front of Associate Chief Justice Heather Holmes in BC Supreme Court on the 4th of July for a sentencing hearing. The verdict was a major milestone in the corruption scandal of the BC legislature. It was the story that dominated BC news at the end of 2018 and start of 2019. This is part two of my interview with Plekis and Mullen. They found the system was broken at the legislature. Craig James had exploited its weaknesses for his own personal gain. But sometimes the system does work. Police and prosecutors took it seriously, and a judge found James guilty. So I asked Plekis and Mullen what they would say to the public and the people that are still working at the legislature.
Well, I would say first, and both Alan and I would say this, that, you know, many, many thanks to police and prosecutors. Like, you know, we never doubted for a moment that police would put their very best efforts into this. Whilst we, of course, didn't, and it wouldn't have been appropriate for us to talk to prosecutors, we had every confidence in the criminal justice system and of course, the court system as well. So all of that's fine. The problem is, what does it take to get there? In order for it to get there, you need to have an ability for police to have full access, you need to have an ability to get at the truth. You need to have people coming forward telling the truth. And on that front, that's where there's a problem. Like, it was complicated getting information, like, to no end. You know, we had one instance where a police officer came on the property to serve a production order and was told to get the hell off the property. Like, how is that openness and transparency and fairness? How is that the pursuit of truth? I would say, can anyone tell us where there was a demonstrated effort to expose what was really going on? And I certainly don't want to imply that there weren't people at the legislature who were extremely helpful. Oh yes, they were. And many of them in significant positions, like the director of finance, extremely helpful to our efforts to try and you know, get at the truth. But again, you know, everybody who works there is mindful of, oh, my head's going to get cut off, you know, if this doesn't work out right. And so we understand that too. But there's certain people, and especially police. Every single person should expect that a police officer is going to work with the utmost integrity. That's at the legislature. And oh my God, I can tell you, that did not happen.
Alan Mullen.
And yeah, just further to your question, Bob, like, what would you say to somebody? I don't know if I could in good conscience say to somebody, if you see wrongdoing, you know, expose it. Bring it to your supervisor, bring it to the media, whatever. I mean, it was such an incredibly difficult exercise, and the only way it was possible is because Darrell Plekis was Speaker and an independent. That's it. It's the only way. But I'm also reminded of the over two dozen former employees of the legislature who were fired for one reason or another, but it all came back to the same base reason of, you asked questions, you pointed out wrongdoing. So I can't in good conscience say to somebody, oh yeah, look, you know, Darrell and I did it, so you should do it too. I don't know if that's the case, not under the current regime, because they will be fired. Look at what, he was the Speaker and I was the Chief of Staff, and we got dragged through the mud, politically, professionally, personally. So unless a lot of things change, you know, I don't blame people for not coming forward, for not putting their hand in the air and saying, hey, there's something wrong here. They're terrified. They're absolutely terrified. And those 24 plus people that I spoke to, well, talk to them. You'll see why these current people are terrified. The fundamental culture of the legislature has to change. The fundamental culture. It has to. Otherwise, it goes on and on and on, and nothing changes because people are fearful for their jobs, for the livelihood, for their professional reputations. It needs to change. It needs to get better.
Yeah, I think I'd like to echo what Alan said there. I mean, fortunately, him and I worked together for quite a number of years before the legislature, and neither of us would have allowed the other to get away with saying, well, let's fold our tent, you know, because it wouldn't have been the right thing to do. But I would absolutely say, God help the person who tries to do what we did. Get ready for a horrible ride, because there will be people working and moving heaven and earth to beat you up at every corner for their own self-serving gain. And you won't have a chance to reply. And you will be faced over and over again with people with all kinds of tactics, delay tactics, silence tactics, just simply doing nothing. I'm reminded again of when I called for an investigation, or I should say Alan called for the investigation into Gary Lenz under the Police Act. Do you think that I could get people to agree to do that? Not even close. They were absolute resistant to the idea. Like, there's no way that you're going to do that. And it was only when we said, no, that's not happening. We have the right to do this, and we're going to do it. Otherwise, it never would have happened. So in that case, it is fair to say they tried their darndest to shut that down, to prevent that truth from getting out. And today, there's still no accountability for that. So once again, people just say, look, there's nothing to see here. Move on. Thank you very much. Everything's fixed. All is well. It was a black cloud. And the other thing I would like to point out, that not one of those people at the legislature, not one elected official has come forward and said, you know, thank you for doing what you did. Not even close. Well, you know, some people would say, okay, I might not have agreed with everything you did or how you did it, but that never would have happened unless Alan and I had did what we did. It just would never have happened.
Finally, Daryl Plekis reflected on the challenge of doing the right thing to find justice.
I just want to, you know, if I could say one thing, I've always wanted to say this. There's been a number of people all along the way. Of course, our families, you know, that's, you know, it put them through hell as well, because there was times, you know, where that people were saying, for example, you know, somebody on social media said that it should be legal to spit on me in the street. I should burn in hell forever. That kind of thing. That's pretty hard on a family, and especially when the attack is relentless. The Vancouver Sun, some of the kinds of things they did, they're cartoons, calling me worse than the Grinch. And I say, okay, you're an established media outlet. What evidence did you have for saying that? What was their basis for saying that? What was their due diligence that caused them to come to that conclusion? And once again, because they control the ink, that you're just never going to chance to see a correction. You can never expect an apology, because they know they don't have to. And it's just horrible. It's just horrible behavior. So the person who's thinking, well, gee, maybe I should, call attention to some matter, I would say, forget it. It's not worth the abuse. And if it was just one or two people that you had to, or one system that you had to go up against, that might be different. But there's too many holes and too many systems to ever expect that you're gonna get through it with an easy ride. And just one finishing comment, that, you know, people call Alan and I whistleblowers. No, we're not. You know, we did no whistleblowing. All we did was our job. You know, it wasn't like we said, oh, we learned of something that somebody did outside our jobs. No. A whistleblower is somebody who brings something to the attention, and it's not necessarily directly their job. This was directly our job and our responsibilities to taxpayers. Unfortunately, there's not a whole lot of people who share that view.
That was Daryl Plekis and Alan Mullen, recorded May 25th in Abbotsford. For part one of the interview, go to podcast number 240 for the week of May 26th. What do you think? Email bob@thebreaker.news. Now it's time on the Breaker.news podcast for Around the Rim. We look at news headlines around the Pacific Rim. In the Taiwan news, Taiwan bans exports of all modern chips to Russia and Belarus. Taiwan's Ministry of Economic Affairs published a list of strategic high-tech goods that are barred from export to Russia and Belarus. The ministry stated that exports of these high-tech commodities are also banned from Belarus because it could help Russia bypass the sanctions. And also in the Taiwan news, gun training quadruples in Taiwan amid fears of emboldened China. Taiwanese are concerned that China could take advantage of the West's distraction over Ukraine to invade. But because Taiwan has extremely strict gun laws, it is difficult for Taiwanese to gain access to firearms. Instead, most shooting ranges consist of airsoft guns, which typically fire plastic projectiles. In the Hong Kong Free Press, lawyer Michael Vidler reflects on 19 years of equal rights advocacy in Hong Kong and his reasons for leaving. The 58-year-old Brit cited concerns over the Beijing-drafted national security law and unfounded allegations by the city's bellicose state-controlled press. As one of the go-to lawyers for equal rights cases since the early 2000s, he fought for minority groups, most notably the LGBT community, at a time when the topic itself was still taboo. He was also engaged by a number of high-profile pro-democracy activists. In the Kyoto News, court orders TEPCO to pay 73.5 million yen over Fukushima crisis. Operator of the crippled Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power plant was ordered to pay the equivalent of $566,000 in compensation to current and former residents of Tomura City in the west of the complex hit by the March 2011 disaster for emotional distress. But the 525 plaintiffs sought 11 million yen, or $85,000, per person. So they are considering appealing the ruling, some of them said in a press conference. That's Around the Rim on this edition of the Breaker.News podcast.
Breaker.News podcast for Cascadia Calling. We look at news headlines around the Pacific Northwest.
In the Register Guard, Russians out of track worlds barring unexpected end to war in Ukraine. Athletes from Russia and Belarus will be banned from next month's track and field world championships in Eugene, Oregon, which marks the largest international sports event since the end of the Winter Olympics and Paralympics. Since 2015, Russia's track federation has been under suspension as the result of a massive doping scandal that has rocked that country for the past decade. In King 5, Redmond Bakery giving Americans a taste of the Queen's Platinum Jubilee celebrations. The British Pantry is gearing up to bring Platinum Jubilee celebrations to Redmond. Fred and Mavis Redmond moved to Washington State from England 50 years ago when Fred accepted a job with Boeing. Mavis, who grew up above her father's bakery, started making treats for friends, which led to a modest-sized bakery of her own that has expanded 5 times. The British Pantry is now a Redmond staple that opened in 1978. The family also runs a restaurant and pub. In Czech news, trombone-playing music teacher scares off black bear at Vancouver Island School. A Shawnigan Lake music teacher scared off a curious black bear the best way he knew how, by belting it on his trombone. Tristan Klussen, a music teacher at St. John's Academy, was teaching his class last Friday, May 27th, when he heard another teacher banging on her classroom door. So he walked toward the garbage can and started playing loudly. And that's Cascadia Calling on this edition of the Breaker.News podcast.
It don't matter what color you are.
The virtual Nanaimo Bar, brought to you by Spruce Hill Contracting.
Every week we end the Breaker.News podcast on a tasty note by awarding the goodness of a virtual Nanaimo Bar to people making a difference. A virtual version of the province's favorite dessert bar goes this week to the British Columbians who keep the memory of China's 1989 student democracy protests alive and keep pressure on the Chinese Communist Party. One of those dedicated to the cause is Fenella Sung from the Friends of Hong Kong. Fenella Sung is a former radio reporter during the 1980s with RTHK in Hong Kong. She is now a translator in Vancouver. I asked her about the state of human rights in Hong Kong and mainland China in 2022, 33 years after the Tiananmen Square massacre and 25 years after the UK handed Hong Kong over to China.
The people are seeing really dictatorship or authoritarian regimes that are in conflict or that's not compatible with the international rules-based order or in or going against democracy worldwide, they are becoming more and more a threat to our way of life in the freedom world. So I think people are get gradually realizing that. So that really depends on, I think, whether the Chinese leadership will really think that, okay, right now, under all these sanctions and all these an international boycott and things like that, that we can no longer be isolated like this. We have to be part of the international village, and not just economically or culturally, but we have to reform ourselves, so to speak, to be incorporated into the international order. Or would they say that, okay, our regime and our way of life and our ideology is far more superior. We will go our own way and we will be able to dominate the world. If that persists, I'm sure that more and more people will come to the side, to the opposite side of the Chinese regime. And I hate to say this, it's going to be a very hard time for the people inside China, because they are the one that cannot control their fate, and they are the one, they are just being victimized by their own government. But I think definitely the CCP will pay a very hefty price for being going against the democratic world.
I also asked her what average British Columbians can do to help those in Hong Kong and mainland China who don't enjoy the same rights and freedoms as we do.
I understand that it seems something very far away, like China is in the Far East, you know, it seems very remote from us here in Canada, here in BC. But I think there's one thing that all of us can do because we can talk and we can share. So to tell the story, if you know of any Chinese stories, like stories about people in China that happened to them, that's been treated unfairly, that suffered human rights abuses, if you know or heard about it, share it and talk about it, share the story. And if you are a Hong Konger or if you have friends in Hong Kong that you know about the Hong Kong stories, tell the Hong Kong story. And if you don't know anything about them, ask. Ask the friends around you, ask the people around you who got some affiliation with the Chinese people inside China, with the local Chinese people, or with the local Hong Kong community. I'm sure whether it's your kids' friends at school or at the parents' group or in the community centers, you're bound to meet people with Chinese background or the Chinese heritage, whether they're from Hong Kong or from China. Ask them what's happening in China right now, what's happening in Hong Kong right now. Ask them and learn more about them. I'm sure that with us speaking about it more, sharing the stories more, people will become more and more aware of what's happening around us.
That was Fenella Sung of the Friends of Hong Kong on this week's edition of the Virtual Nanaimo Bar. You can nominate someone for a Virtual Nanaimo Bar. Send me an email to bob@thebreaker.news. Spruce Hill Contracting, custom homes and renovations. Find more information at sprucehill.ca. That's it for the Breaker.News podcast for the week of June 5th, 2022. I'm Bob Mackin. Thanks for joining me. Did you know that on the 5th of June in 1989, the Tank Man, the brave man who blocked a People's Liberation Army tank at Tiananmen Square after the crackdown on student pro-democracy protests, an image of defiance that lives forever? Now you know. Send me your feedback, send me your story ideas to bob@thebreaker.news. Bookmark thebreaker.news. You can also find us at thebreaker.ca. Sign up for the email newsletter and get updates to your inbox. For news as it happens, follow The Breaker News on Twitter and visit TheBreaker.News on Facebook. You can support The Breaker for as little as $2 a month. For more information, go to patreon.com/TheBreakerNews. That's patreon.com/TheBreakerNews. Until next week.